Chapter 7, Text 15, Purport Continued. The Gita answers this question very frankly. Those really learned leaders of society like Brahma, Shiva, Kapila, the Kumaras, Manu, Vyas, Devala, Asita, Janaka, Prahlad, Bali, and later on Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Sri Chaitanya, and many others, who are faithful philosophers, politicians, educators, scientists, etc., surrender to the lotus feet of the Supreme Person, the all-powerful authority. Those who are not actually philosophers, scientists, educators, administrators, etc., but who pose themselves as such for material gain, do not accept the plan or path of the Supreme Lord. They have no idea of God. They simply manufacture their own worldly plans and consequently complicate the problems of material existence in their vain attempts to solve them. Because material energy, nature, is so powerful, it can resist the unauthorized plans of the atheists and baffle the knowledge of planning commissions. The atheistic plan makers are described herein by the word duskritina, or miscreants. Kriti means one who has performed meritorious work. The atheist plan maker is sometimes very intelligent and meritorious also, because any gigantic plan, good or bad, must take intelligence to execute. But because the atheist's brain is improperly utilized in opposing the plan of the Supreme Lord, the atheist plan maker is called duskriti, which indicates that his intelligence and efforts are misdirected. In the Gita, it is clearly mentioned that material energy works fully under the direction of the Supreme Lord. It has no independent authority. It works as the shadow moves, in accordance with the movements of the object. But still, material energy is very powerful, and the atheist, due to his godless temperament, cannot know how it works, nor can he know the plan of the Supreme Lord. Under illusion and the modes of passion and ignorance, all his plans are baffled, as in the case of Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, whose plans were smashed to dust, although they were both materially learned as scientists, philosophers, administrators, and educators. These duskritinas, or miscreants, are of four different patterns, as outlined below. 1. The mudhas are those who are grossly foolish, like hard-working beasts of burden. They want to enjoy the fruits of their labor by themselves, and so do not want to part with them for the Supreme. The typical example of the beast of burden is the ass. This humble beast is made to work very hard by his master. The ass does not really know for whom he works so hard day and night. He remains satisfied by filling his stomach with a bundle of grass, sleeping for a while under fear of being beaten by his master, and satisfying his sex appetite at the risk of being repeatedly kicked by the opposite party. The ass sings poetry and philosophy sometimes, but this braying sound only disturbs others. This is the position of the foolish, fruitive worker who does not know for whom he should work. He does not know that karma, action, is meant for yajna, sacrifice. Most often, those who work very hard day and night to clear the burden of self-created duties say that they have no time to hear of the immortality of the living being. To such mudhas, material gains, which are destructible, are life's all in all, despite the fact that the mudhas enjoy only a very small fraction of the fruit of labor. Sometimes they spend sleepless days and nights for a fruitive gain, and although they may have ulcers or indigestion, they are satisfied with practically no food. They are simply absorbed in working hard day and night for the benefit of illusory masters. Ignorant of their real master, the foolish workers waste their valuable time serving mammon. Unfortunately, they never surrender to the Supreme Master of all masters, nor do they take time to hear of him from the proper sources. The swine who eat the night soil do not care to accept sweetmeats made of sugar and ghee. Similarly, the foolish worker will untiringly continue to hear of the sense-enjoyable tidings of the flickering mundane world, but will have very little time to hear about the eternal living force that moves the material world. 2. Another class of duskriti, or miscreant, is called the Naradhama, or the lowest of mankind. Nara means human being, and Adama means the lowest. Out of the 8,400,000 different species of living beings, there are 400,000 human species. Out of these, there are numerous lower forms of human life that are mostly uncivilized. The civilized human beings are those who have regulative principles of social, political, and religious life. Those who are socially and politically developed, but who have no religious principles, must be considered Naratamas. Nor is religion without God religion, because the purpose of following religious principles is to know the supreme truth and man's relation with him. In the Gita, the personality of Godhead clearly states that there is no authority above him, and that he is the supreme truth. The civilized form of human life is meant for man's reviving the lost consciousness of his eternal relationship with the supreme truth, the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, who is all-powerful. Whoever loses this chance is classified as a Naratama. We get information from revealed scriptures that when the baby is in the mother's womb, an extremely uncomfortable situation, he prays to God for deliverance and promises to worship him alone as soon as he gets out. To pray to God when he is in difficulty is a natural instinct in every living being, because he is eternally related with God. But after birth, the child forgets the difficulties of birth and forgets his deliverer also, being influenced by Maya, the illusory energy. It is the duty of the guardians of children to revive the divine consciousness dormant in them. The 10 processes of reformatory ceremonies, as enjoined in the Manusmriti, which is the guide to religious principles, are meant for reviving God consciousness in the system of Varnashram. However, no process is strictly followed now in any part of the world, and therefore 99.9% of the population is Naratama. When the whole population becomes Naratama, naturally all their so-called education is made null and void by the all-powerful energy of physical nature. According to the standard of the Gita, a learned man is he who sees on equal terms the learned Brahman, the dog, the cow, the elephant, and the dog-eater. That is the vision of a true devotee. Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who is the incarnation of Godhead as Divine Master, delivered the typical Naratamas, the brothers Jagai and Madhai, and showed how the mercy of a real devotee is bestowed upon the lowest of mankind. So the Naratama, who is condemned by the personality of Godhead, can again revive his spiritual consciousness only by the mercy of a devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in propagating the Bhagavat Dharma, or activities of the devotees, has recommended that people submissively hear the message of the personality of Godhead. The essence of this message is Bhagavad Gita. The lowest amongst human beings can be delivered by this submissive hearing process only. But unfortunately, they even refuse to give an oral reception to these messages, and what to speak of surrendering to the will of the Supreme Lord. Naratamas, or the lowest of mankind, will fully neglect the prime duty of the human being. 3. The next class of Dushkriti is called Mayaya Parita Jnana, or those persons whose erudite knowledge has been nullified by the influence of illusory material energy. They are mostly very learned fellows, great philosophers, poets, literati, scientists, etc. But the illusory energy misguides them, and therefore they disobey the Supreme Lord. There are a great number of Mayaya Parita Jnana at the present moment, even amongst the scholars of the Bhagavad Gita. In the Gita, in plain and simple language, it is stated that Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is none equal to or greater than him. He is mentioned as the father of Brahma, the original father of all human beings. In fact, Sri Krishna is said to be not only the father of Brahma, but also the father of all species of life. He is the root of the impersonal Brahman and Paramatma. The supersoul in every entity is his plenary portion. He is the fountainhead of everything, and everyone is advised to surrender unto his lotus feet. Despite all these clear statements, the Mayaya Parita Jnana deride the personality of the Supreme Lord and consider him merely another human being. They do not know that the blessed form of human life is designed after the eternal and transcendental feature of the Supreme Lord. all the unauthorized interpretations of the Gita by the class of Mayaparita Jnana, outside the purview of the Parampara system, are so many stumbling blocks on the path of spiritual understanding. The deluded interpreters do not surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, nor do they teach others to follow this principle. 4. The last class of Dushkriti is called Asuram Bhavamashrita, or those of demonic principles. This class is openly atheistic. Some of them argue that the Supreme Lord can never descend upon this material world, but they are unable to give any tangible reasons as to why not. There are others who make him subordinate to the impersonal feature, although the opposite is declared in the Gita. Envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the atheist will present a number of illicit incarnations manufactured in the factory of his brain. Such persons, whose very principle of life is to decry the personality of Godhead, cannot surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Sri Yamunacharya Albandaru of South India said, "O my Lord, you are unknowable to persons involved with atheistic principles, despite your uncommon qualities, features, and activities, despite your personalities being confirmed by all the revealed scriptures in the quality of goodness, and despite your being acknowledged by the famous authorities renowned for their depth of knowledge in the transcendental science and situated in the godly qualities." Therefore, 1. Grossly foolish persons, 2. The lowest of mankind, 3. The deluded speculators, and 4. The professed atheists, as above mentioned, never surrender unto the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, in spite of all scriptural and authoritative advice. Text 16. Chaturvedha bhajante maham jana sukritano arjuna arto jingasa ratati jnani cha maratashabha. O best among the Bharatas, 4 kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Purport. Unlike the miscreants, these are adherents of the regulative principles of the scriptures, and they are called sukritana, or those who obey the rules and regulations of the scriptures, the moral and social laws, and are more or less devoted to the Supreme Lord. Out of these, there are 4 classes of men: those who are sometimes distressed, those who are in need of money, those who are sometimes inquisitive, and those who are sometimes searching after knowledge of the Absolute Truth. These persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service under different conditions. These are not pure devotees, because they have some aspiration to fulfill in exchange for devotional service. Pure devotional service is without aspiration and without desire for material profit. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11 defines pure devotion thus: Anyabilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktiruttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. When these 4 kinds of persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service and are completely purified by the association of a pure devotee, they also become pure devotees. As far as the miscreants are concerned, for them devotional service is very difficult because their lives are selfish, irregular, and without spiritual goals. But even some of them, by chance, when they come in contact with a pure devotee, also become pure devotees. Those who are always busy with fruitive activities come to the Lord in material distress, and at that time associate with pure devotees and become, in their distress, devotees of the Lord. Those who are simply frustrated also come sometimes to associate with the pure devotees and become inquisitive to know about God. Similarly, when the dry philosophers are frustrated in every field of knowledge, they sometimes want to learn of God, and they come to the Supreme Lord to render devotional service and thus transcend knowledge of the impersonal Brahman and the localized Paramatma, and come to the personal conception of Godhead by the grace of the Supreme Lord or his pure devotee. On the whole, when the distressed, the inquisitive, the seekers of knowledge, and those who are in need of money are free from all material desires. And when they fully understand that material remuneration has nothing to do with spiritual improvement, they become pure devotees. As long as such a purified stage is not attained, devotees in transcendental service to the Lord are tainted with fruitive activities, the search for mundane knowledge, etc. So one has to transcend all this before one can come to the stage of pure devotional service. Text 17. Teshangani nitya yukta eka bhakti visishyate vriyohi jnani notyartham ahamsa chamamapriya. Of these, the one who is in full knowledge and who is always engaged in pure devotional service is the best, for I am very dear to him, and he is dear to me. Purport. Free from all contaminations of material desires, the distressed, the inquisitive, the penniless, and the seeker after supreme knowledge can all become pure devotees. But out of them, he who is in knowledge of the absolute truth and free from all material desires becomes a really pure devotee of the Lord. And of the four orders, the devotee who is in full knowledge and is at the same time engaged in devotional service is, the Lord says, the best. By searching after knowledge, one realizes that his self is different from his material body. And when further advanced, he comes to the knowledge of impersonal Brahman and Paramatma. When one is fully purified, he realizes that his constitutional position is to be the eternal servant of God. So, by association with pure devotees, the inquisitive, the distressed, the seeker after material amelioration, and the man in knowledge all become themselves pure. But in the preparatory stage, the man who is in full knowledge of the Supreme Lord and is at the same time executing devotional service is very dear to the Lord. He who is situated in pure knowledge of the transcendence of the Supreme Personality of God is so protected in devotional service that material contamination cannot touch him. Text 18. Udara sarvehi vaiti jnani tvatma eva me matam astita sahi yuktatma mame vanutamam gatim. All these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he is sure to attain me, the highest and most perfect goal. Purport. It is not that devotees who are less complete in knowledge are not dear to the Lord. The Lord says that all are magnanimous because anyone who comes to the Lord for any purpose is called a Mahatma, or great soul. The devotees who want some benefit out of devotional service are accepted by the Lord because there is an exchange of affection. Out of affection, they ask the Lord for some material benefit, and when they get it, they become so satisfied that they also advance in devotional service. But the devotee in full knowledge is considered to be very dear to the Lord because his only purpose is to serve the Supreme Lord with love and devotion. Such a devotee cannot live a second without contacting or serving the Supreme Lord. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is very fond of his devotee and cannot be separated from him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.68, the Lord says, Sadhavo vidyam mahyam sadhunam vidyam traham madanyate na jananti nahante bhyo managapi. The devotees are always in my heart, and I am always in the hearts of the devotees. The devotee does not know anything beyond me, and I also cannot forget the devotee. There is a very intimate relationship between me and the pure devotees. Pure devotees in full knowledge are never out of spiritual touch, and therefore they are very much dear to me. Text 19. Bahunang janmanamanti jnanavan mam prapadyati Vasudevak sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Purport. The living entity, while executing devotional service or transcendental rituals after many, many births, may actually become situated in transcendental pure knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of spiritual realization. In the beginning of spiritual realization, while one is trying to give up one's attachment to materialism, there is some leaning towards impersonalism. But when one is further advanced, he can understand that there are activities in the spiritual life and that these activities constitute devotional service. Realizing this, he becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrenders to Him. At such a time, one can understand that Lord Sri Krishna's mercy is everything, that He is the cause of all causes, and that this material manifestation is not independent from Him. He realizes the material world to be a perverted reflection of spiritual variegatedness, and realizes that in everything there is a relationship with the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Thus he thinks of everything in relation to Vasudev or Sri Krishna. Such a universal vision of Vasudev precipitates one's full surrender to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, as the highest goal. Such surrendered great souls are very rare. This verse is very nicely explained in the third chapter, verses 14 and 15, of the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Sahasrashirsha purushah sahasraksha sahasrapat sabhumim vishvato vritva tyatishtandashangulam purusha evedam sarvam yadbhutam yachabhavyam uttamritatvasyeshano yadenenatirohati. In the Chandogya Upanishad 5.1.15, it is said, Navai vacho na chakshungsi na shrotrani na manangsi tya chakshate prana iti eva chakshate prano ye vaitani sarvani bhavanti. In the body of a living being, neither the power to speak, nor the power to see, nor the power to hear, nor the power to think is the prime factor. It is the life which is the center of all activities. Similarly, Lord Vasudev, or the Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is the prime entity in everything. In this body there are powers of speaking, of seeing, of hearing, of mental activities, etc. But these are not important if not related to the Supreme Lord. And because Vasudev is all-pervading and everything is Vasudev, the devotee surrenders in full knowledge. See Bhagavad Gita 7.17 and 11.40. Text 20. Kamaistaista ritagyana papadyante nyadevata tang tang niyama mastaya bhakatya niyataksvaya. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. Purport. Those who are freed from all material contaminations surrender unto the Supreme Lord and engage in His devotional service. As long as the material contamination is not completely washed off, they are by nature non-devotees. But even those who have material desires and who resort to the Supreme Lord are not so much attracted by external nature. Because of approaching the right goal, they soon become free from all material lust. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is recommended that whether one is a pure devotee and is free from all material desires, or is full of material desires, or desires liberation from material contamination, he should in all cases surrender to Vasudev and worship him. As stated in the Bhagavatam 2.3.10, Akama sarvakamo vaha mokshakama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushang param. Less intelligent people who have lost their spiritual sense take shelter of demigods for immediate fulfillment of material desires. Generally, such people do not go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they are in the lower modes of nature, ignorance and passion, and therefore worship various demigods. Following the rules and regulations of worship, they are satisfied. The worshippers of demigods are motivated by small desires and do not know how to reach the supreme goal, but a devotee of the Supreme Lord is not misguided. Because in Vedic literature there are recommendations for worshipping different gods for different purposes, for example, a diseased man is recommended to worship the sun, those who are not devotees of the Lord think that for certain purposes demigods are better than the Supreme Lord. But a pure devotee knows that the Supreme Lord, Krishna, is the master of all. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 5.142, it is said, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Ar Sabamritya. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is master, and all others are servants. Therefore, a pure devotee never goes to demigods for satisfaction of his material needs. He depends on the Supreme Lord, and the pure devotee is satisfied with whatever the Lord gives. Text 21. Yo yo yang yang tonum bhokta shraddhaya architum icchati tasya tasya chalang shraddham tameva vidadhamyaham. I am in everyone's heart as the Supersoul. As soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I make his faith steady so that he can devote himself to that particular deity. Purport. God has given independence to everyone. Therefore, if a person desires to have material enjoyment and wants very sincerely to have such facilities from the material demigods, the Supreme Lord, as Supersoul in everyone's heart, understands and gives facilities to such persons. As the Supreme Father of all living entities, he does not interfere with their independence, but gives facilities so that they can fulfill their material desires. Some may ask why the all-powerful God gives facilities to the living entities for enjoying this material world, and so lets them fall into the trap of the illusory energy. The answer is that if the Supreme Lord as Supersoul does not give such facilities, then there is no meaning to independence. Therefore, he gives everyone full independence, whatever one likes. But his ultimate instruction we find in the Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and fully surrender unto him. That will make man happy. Both the living entity and the demigods are subordinate to the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the living entity cannot worship the demigod by his own desire, nor can the demigod bestow any benediction without the supreme will. As it is said, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Generally, persons who are distressed in the material world go to the demigods, as they are advised in the Vedic literature. A person wanting some particular thing may worship such and such a demigod. For example, a diseased person is recommended to worship the sun god. A person wanting education may worship the goddess of learning, Saraswati. And a person wanting a beautiful wife may worship the goddess Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva. In this way, there are recommendations in the Shastras or Vedic scriptures for different modes of worship of different demigods. And because a particular living entity wants to enjoy a particular material facility, the Lord inspires him with a strong desire to achieve that benediction from that particular demigod, and so he successfully receives the benediction. The particular mode of the devotional attitude of the living entity toward a particular type of demigod is also arranged by the Supreme Lord. The demigods cannot infuse the living entities with such an affinity. But because Krishna is the Supersoul present in the hearts of all living entities, he gives impetus to man to worship certain demigods. The demigods are actually different parts of the universal body of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they have no independence. In the Vedic literature, it is stated, the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Supersoul is also present within the heart of the demigod. Therefore, he arranges through the demigod to fulfill the desire of the living entity. But both the demigod and the living entity are dependent on the supreme will. They are not independent. Text 22. Sataya shraddhaya yuktah tasya radhanamiyate labhate tatat kaman mayaiva vihitani tan. Endowed with such a faith, he endeavors to worship a particular demigod and obtains his desires. But in actuality, these benefits are bestowed by me alone. Purport. The demigods cannot award benedictions to their devotees without the permission of the Supreme Lord. The living entity may forget that everything is the property of the Supreme Lord, but the demigods do not forget. So the worship of demigods and achievement of desired results are due not to the demigods, but to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by arrangement. The less intelligent living entity does not know this, and therefore he foolishly goes to the demigods for some benefit. But the pure devotee, when in need of something, prays only to the Supreme Lord. Asking for material benefit, however, is not a sign of a pure devotee. A living entity goes to the demigods usually because he is mad to fulfill his lust. This happens when something undue is desired by the living entity, and the Lord himself does not fulfill the desire. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that one who worships the Supreme Lord and at the same time desires material enjoyment is contradictory in his desires. Devotional service to the Supreme Lord and the worship of a demigod cannot be on the same platform, because worship of a demigod is material, and devotional service to the Supreme Lord is completely spiritual. For the living entity who desires to return to Godhead, material desires are impediments. A pure devotee of the Lord is therefore not awarded the material benefits desired by less intelligent living entities, who therefore prefer to worship demigods of the material world rather than engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. Text 23.
Antavattu palangte sham tadvavtyalpamedhasam devan devaya joyanti monbhokta yanti mamapi.
Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet. Purport. Some commentators on the Bhagavad Gita say that one who worships a demigod can reach the Supreme Lord. But here it is clearly stated that the worshippers of demigods go to the different planetary systems where various demigods are situated, just as a worshipper of the sun achieves the sun, or a worshipper of the demigod of the moon achieves the moon. Similarly, if anyone wants to worship a demigod like Indra, he can attain that particular god's planet. It is not that everyone, regardless of whatever demigod is worshipped, will reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is denied here, for it is clearly stated that the worshippers of demigods go to different planets in the material world, but the devotee of the Supreme Lord goes directly to the supreme planet of the Personality of Godhead. Here the point may be raised that if the demigods are different parts of the body of the Supreme Lord, then the same end should be achieved by worshipping them. However, worshippers of the demigods are less intelligent because they don't know to what part of the body food must be supplied. Some of them are so foolish that they claim that there are many parts and many ways to supply food. This isn't very intelligent. Can anyone supply food to the body through the ears or eyes? They do not know that these demigods are different parts of the universal body of the Supreme Lord, and in their ignorance they believe that each and every demigod is a separate god and a competitor of the Supreme Lord. Not only are demigods parts of the Supreme Lord, but ordinary living entities are also. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated that the Brahmins are the head of the Supreme Lord, the Kshatriyas are his arms, the Vaishyas are his waist, the Shudras are his legs, and all serve different functions. Regardless of the situation, if one knows that both the demigods and himself are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, his knowledge is perfect. But if he does not understand this, he achieves different planets where the demigods reside. This is not the same destination the devotee reaches. The results achieved by the demigods' benedictions are perishable, because within this material world, the planets, the demigods, and their worshippers are all perishable. Therefore, it is clearly stated in this verse that all results achieved by worshipping demigods are perishable, and therefore such worship is performed by the less intelligent living entity. Because the pure devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness in devotional service of the Supreme Lord achieves eternal blissful existence that is full of knowledge, his achievements and those of the common worshipper of the demigods are different. The Supreme Lord is unlimited, his favor is unlimited, his mercy is unlimited. Therefore, the mercy of the Supreme Lord upon his pure devotees is unlimited.
Avyaktam vyaktam apannam manyante mam abuddhaya param bhavam majananto mamavyayam anuttamam.
Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. Purport. Those who are worshippers of demigods have been described as less intelligent persons, and here the impersonalists are similarly described. Lord Krishna in his personal form is here speaking before Arjuna, and still, due to ignorance, impersonalists argue that the Supreme Lord ultimately has no form. Yamunacharya, a great devotee of the Lord in the disciplic succession of Ramanujacharya, has written a very appropriate verse in this connection. He says, Dvam Srila Rupa Charitai Padama Prakrishtai Satvena Satvakataya Pabalaischa Shastrai Prakyata Deva Padamarta Vedhammataischa Naivasara Prakataya Pabavandi Bodhum. My dear Lord, devotees like Vyasadeva and Narada know you to be the personality of Godhead. By understanding different Vedic literatures, one can come to know your characteristics, your form, and your activities, and one can thus understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance, the demons, the non-devotees, cannot understand you. They are unable to understand you. However expert such non-devotees may be in discussing Vedanta and the Upanishads and other Vedic literatures, it is not possible for them to understand the personality of Godhead. Stotra Ratna 12. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the personality of Godhead cannot be understood simply by study of the Vedanta literature. Only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord can the personality of the Supreme be known. Therefore, in this verse, it is clearly stated that not only are the worshippers of the demigods less intelligent, but those non-devotees who are engaged in Vedanta and speculation on Vedic literature without any tinge of true Krishna consciousness are also less intelligent, and for them it is not possible to understand God's personal nature. Persons who are under the impression that the absolute truth is impersonal are described as abuddhaya, which means those who do not know the ultimate feature of the absolute truth. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that supreme realization begins from the impersonal Brahman and then rises to the localized supersoul. But the ultimate word in the absolute truth is the personality of Godhead. Modern impersonalists are still less intelligent, for they do not even follow their great predecessor, Shankaracharya, who has specifically stated that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Impersonalists, therefore, not knowing the supreme truth, think Krishna to be only the son of Devaki and Vasudev, or a prince, or a powerful living entity. This is also condemned in the Bhagavad Gita 9.11. Avajananti mamudha manushim tonam ashritam. Only the fools regard me as an ordinary person. The fact is that no one can understand Krishna without rendering devotional service and without developing Krishna consciousness. The Bhagavatam 10.14.29 confirms this. Atapi te deva padambo jandvaya prasada lesha nugrihite vihi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanne eko picharam vichinvan. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the supreme personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or his form, quality, or name, simply by mental speculation or by discussing Vedic literature. One must understand him by devotional service. When one is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, beginning by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then only can one understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Non-devotee impersonalists think that Krishna has a body made of this material nature, and that all his activities, his form, and everything are Maya. These impersonalists are known as Mayavadis. They do not know the ultimate truth. The 20th verse clearly states, Kamaistaista rita jnana papadyante nyadevata. Those who are blinded by lusty desires surrender unto the different demigods. It is accepted that besides the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are demigods who have their different planets, and the Lord also has a planet. As stated in the 23rd verse, Devan Devayajo Yantihi Madbhakta Yanti Mamapi. The worshippers of the demigods go to the different planets of the demigods, and those who are devotees of Lord Krishna go to the Krishna Loka planet. Although this is clearly stated, the foolish impersonalists still maintain that the Lord is formless and that these forms are impositions. From the study of the Gita, does it appear that the demigods and their abodes are impersonal? Clearly, neither the demigods nor Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are impersonal. They are all persons. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he has his own planet, and the demigods have theirs. Therefore, the monistic contention that ultimate truth is formless and that form is imposed does not hold true. It is clearly stated here that it is not imposed. From the Bhagavad Gita, we can clearly understand that the forms of the demigods and the form of the Supreme Lord are simultaneously existing, and that Lord Krishna is Satchidananda, eternal blissful knowledge. The Vedas also confirm that the Supreme Absolute Truth is Anandamayo Vyasat, or by nature full of blissful pleasure, and that he is the reservoir of unlimited auspicious qualities. And in the Gita, the Lord says that although he is Aja, unborn, he still appears. These are the facts that we should understand from the Bhagavad Gita. We cannot understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be impersonal. The imposition theory of the impersonalist monist is false as far as the statements of the Gita are concerned. It is clear herein that the Supreme Absolute Truth, Lord Krishna, has both form and personality. Text 25.
Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita mudha yang na bijanati loko ma majamavyayam.
I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible.
Purport. It may be argued that since Krishna was present on this earth and was visible to everyone, then why isn't he manifest to everyone now? But actually, he was not manifest to everyone. When Krishna was present, there were only a few people who could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the assembly of Kurus, when Shishupal spoke against Krishna's being elected president of the assembly, Bhishma supported him and proclaimed him to be the Supreme God. Similarly, the Pandavas and a few others knew that he was the Supreme, but not everyone. He was not revealed to the non-devotees and the common man. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that but for his pure devotees, all men consider him to be like themselves. He was manifest only to his devotees as the reservoir of all pleasure. But to others, to unintelligent non-devotees, he was covered by his internal potency. In the prayers of Kunti in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.19, it is said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yogamaya, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. This Yogamaya curtain is also confirmed in the Ishopanishad Mantra 15, in which the devotee prays, Hiranmayena patrena satyasyapi hitam mukham tatvam pushana pavranu satyadharmaya drishtaye. O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. Therefore, I pray that you will also maintain me. Your transcendental form is covered by the Yogamaya. The Brahmajyoti is the covering of the internal potency. May you kindly remove this glowing effulgence that impedes my seeing your Satchidananda Vigraha, your eternal form of bliss and knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his transcendental form of bliss and knowledge is covered by the internal potency of the Brahmajyoti, and the less intelligent impersonalists cannot see the Supreme on this account. Also in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.7, there is this prayer by Brahma. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Supersoul, O Master of all mystery, who can calculate your potency and pastimes in this world? You are always expanding your internal potency, and therefore no one can understand you. Learned scientists and learned scholars can examine the atomic constitution of the material world or even the planets, but still they are unable to calculate your energy and potency, although you are present before them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is not only unborn but also avyaya, inexhaustible. His eternal form is bliss and knowledge, and his energies are all inexhaustible. Text 26.
Vedahaṃ samatitāni vartamānāni chārjuna bhavishyāni ca bhūtāni māṃ tu veda na kaścana.
O Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me no one knows.
Purport. Here the question of personality and impersonality is clearly stated. If Krishna, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, were Maya, material, as the impersonalists consider him to be, then like the living entity he would change his body and forget everything about his past life. Anyone with a material body cannot remember his past life, nor can he foretell his future life, nor can he predict the outcome of his present life. Therefore, he cannot know what is happening in the past, present, and future. Unless one is liberated from material contamination, he cannot know past, present, and future. Unlike the ordinary human being, Lord Krishna clearly says that he completely knows what happened in the past, what is happening in the present, and what will happen in the future. In the fourth chapter, we have seen that Lord Krishna remembers instructing Vivasvan, the sun god, millions of years ago. Krishna knows every living entity because he is situated in every living being's heart as the Supersoul. But despite his presence in every living entity as Supersoul, and his presence as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the less intelligent, even if able to realize the impersonal Brahman, cannot realize Sri Krishna as the Supreme Person.